Save big on everything when you shop at Menards. Upgrade your kitchen today with Clearview Cabinetry. We offer a great selection of finishes made with the finest materials and built to withstand life's sticky messes. They provide features like soft closed doors and drawers and with cabinet accessories to match your unique style. View our selection of Clearview Cabinetry on Menards.com. Plus, check out our weekly flyer and find plenty of great deals happening this week. Save big money
at Menards. You're on The Burt Show.
I just injected all of you guys with truth serum that doesn't allow you to say the politically correct thing. You must say the truth when I give you the details of this story and how you would handle it. Okay? So you pull up to your house randomly. You were at Target, wherever you were with your family. And you pull up to your house. And unbeknownst to you, every home in the neighborhood has been decorated for Christmas with Christmas lights. Every single home. You had no idea it was even going to happen. But you pull up and every house is decorated. Okay, so you're a little bit curious, like, what the heck is going on? A, would you be okay with not even knowing, or be okay with the whole neighborhood being decorated without any kind of permission whatsoever?
Yeah, I'd be totally fine with that.
You'd be totally fine with that.
The whole neighborhood decorated?
The whole neighborhood. Like, your house, your neighbor's house, the people across the street.
Your house is decorated too?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant you came home and everybody had decorated and didn't tell you, and you're the only house on the street with no decorations.
No, unbeknownst to you, unbeknownst to any of the neighbors. Now there's decorations in front of their house, hanging from their house, everything.
No, I'm not cool with that. Like, before you do anything to my home, like, this is my place, I purchased, my name's on the deed, I'm paying the mortgage. Yeah, no, you can't make any alterations, even if it's permanent or non-permanent, to my house without my consent.
Where can I send my address? Can they come tomorrow? That's fine.
Do it.
Well, you know, normally I'd say stay off my property, but Christmas decorations are hard. Mm. And there's a ladder involved, and those don't go over well in my family since my husband blew his knee out. So I would love it.
So you would pull up to your house, the whole neighborhood is decorated, nobody gave permission, but you're like, this is great. What a break.
If it was done nicely, yes.
Yeah. And, you know, I think it's what season of life you're in, because I'm in like a low point now. So if someone did that, I'd be like, oh my God, that's so kind. How lovely. But if I'm feeling good and I had plans, I'd be like, how dare you? You know?
I would say that, okay, if you weren't in a low point, but that was so many years ago, I don't even think you remember.
What? No, this is a plateau.
Mo.
It kind of depends. Like, I feel like if I came home and it was really nice, like super nice, I probably would want to know how it happened, but I wouldn't be really mad at it.
I mean, nice is so subjective too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, whoever did the decorating, their nice might be your heinous, but you never even had a say in it.
Like, if it's red and green lights and not white lights?
Yeah, that's true. I would feel like it was intrusive to decorate my home without asking me.
I have follow-up questions. Does it look good? Like, is it objectively, are they high-quality lights? Is there effort, or is it just kind of like, oh, a five-year-old?
No, I mean, there was effort, but yeah, I mean, you're not necessarily entirely down with it.
Okay. You know what? I'm lazy. I'm still going to go for it. Just because if they're coming around and they're putting them up and they're going to take them down too, I'm okay with it.
Okay, so Kristen really and Mo were the ones that were really like, no, don't do it. Don't touch my place. All right? It's kind of my decision. If you're going to do it, at least get my permission. All right, so let me throw this second part on it. What if it was a 74-year-old retired Marine that is doing it, decorating everybody's house on the block with Christmas lights because he does it for his wife who loves Christmas and was diagnosed with Alzheimer's 4 years ago?
Oh, then absolutely have at it.
Then go for it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Context is everything.
Yeah, it's everything.
Absolutely.
Yeah, do your thing.
That's what's happening in Iowa. In one neighborhood, they were all shocked when they showed up, but it was this dude, 74 years old, decorated everybody's home. Here's his neighbors, along with John and his wife, talking about the amazing decorations.
This is his labor of love. And I said, are you crazy? But he did it. I think the whole neighborhood is just feels very blessed to have him in this neighborhood.
If it wasn't for my wife, I don't know if I would have done it. But she wanted Christmas, so I'd give it to her. I'll do anything to make her happy.
I didn't know what to think, but I'm glad he did it. I love him.
And to think that he's done all this work just to make her happy. That's what Christmas and love is.
That's really sweet.
Could anybody say, hey, I understand your circumstance, but stay away from my house.
Get off my lawn.
There are people that would do that.
Thank you for your service. Get off my lawn.
Get off my lawn.
Could you imagine?
No, you can't do that, man. No.
What if you didn't know the whole story and then you find out who did it and you go and you just chew their A out and then you find out the backstory to it? You would feel like the worst.
This is a prime lesson in before you fly off the handle, why don't you get to the bottom? Like, why don't you get to the why of something? Why something happened? And then you can take it from there.
My man went all out for his wife, though. That's dope.
Oh. He did, right?
You're on The Burt Show.
I don't know that you would, but do never, 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 never call anybody in here, call me your friend. Because a friend would have told me hours ago that there was toothpaste on my shirt that clearly dribbled out of my mouth onto my shirt earlier this morning. And I just did the whole damn show with this stain of toothpaste. Thank God we have the close-up shots now on the camera.
Yeah, I saw it.
Why didn't you say anything?
I didn't know what it was.
You saw it.
It was a mysterious white stain, and I was just going to let it go.
Literally, same thought process.
I mean, really. Like, what was going to happen this morning that I was going to have a white stain on my shirt?
What's the rule? If they can change it within, 5 minutes, you call it out? Or 5 seconds?
Five seconds,
you call it out. Otherwise, you let it go.
I have literally been on the air with you before when you have told me I've got a booger in my nose. I have been on the air with you before and you have saved that time to tell me that I have like a long gray hair that is growing out of my nose. And you saved it for when we were on the air. Yes. Yet here I have a toothpaste stain.
Yeah. It's a pretty dude, it's a big one too. Like, how much did you have in your mouth?
It was little, but now.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, I totally drenched it. So now it looks like I'm lactating.
Yeah, look.
Oh, it's so big that from this angle, I didn't even know. To me, it looks like a shadow. How did you not notice that?
Well, it wasn't this big. The water stain is bigger, but the stain was smaller. And I'd be really upset if we just spent 4 hours on video and you could see it in the video. But Cassie has changed our shots now on video to so close that you did see it. Jackson, you saw it too?
It's probably
I didn't see it.
Okay. It's probably real front and center in the video the way it crops.
Yes.
I didn't see it. It probably looked better than it does now that you tried to clean it.
Right. At first, I thought it was like part of your shirt aesthetic. Like it was like, you know, vintage and it was distressed.
Yeah.
You thought it was like a label?
Yes. And then closer up, I was like, that's a stain. And then I'm like, I'm not going to be that a-hole who's like, you got a stain on your shirt.
It's the new brand of Goodwill. Yeah. Clearly, I got that shirt at Goodwill and they stained their shirts now with toothpaste. Thanks, you guys.
It didn't look like toothpaste.
Whoa. Real friends. All right, so why would anybody fake a wedding, Mo?
Well, let me tell you. I'm thinking about going through with this because there's one person in my life whom my entire life I have always been willing to do something that maybe wasn't for me just to appease her. And that's my grandmother. And so I was home for the holidays, like most of us were for Thanksgiving. And I was just kind of going through the update of my family. And everybody is doing really well, which I'm very happy about. My dad is doing so well at work. My mom got a new job. They're flying high. My sisters are now thinking about moving. My baby sister is probably going to be moving for the first time out of the home and going to D.C. to live her own life. My other sister is thinking about moving to Florida. She's practically already there the majority of the time.
Y'all don't want to be anywhere near each other.
No. Yeah. We all over the world now, which it was funny because I went to my parents and I asked them separately, but I was just curious. And I asked my dad, like, how do you feel about possibly being an empty nester for the first time? And he was like, you know, I've been thinking about that, and I'm not exactly sure. He's like, let me get back to you on that. And I went to my mom, and I asked her the same question, and she said, finally, it's about time. So I think my mom was more so waiting for it than my dad. But what was very interesting to me wasn't, like, I feel like everybody goes home, and they're afraid of the when you're going to get married, when you're going to have kids questions. And for me, what gave me a little bit of anxiety was actually the opposite. Because I remember years ago, my grandmother telling me, because she grew up in an era where I think marriage was a little bit different. And for her, like for a lot of people, marriage is some sort of, I guess, success in a sense of if you don't get married, then you didn't succeed at something or you didn't. And I don't look at it like that at all. But I know a lot of people do. And I know her generation does. And I remember her telling me one day, I could see like this sparkle in her eye of, I know you're going to do this one day. And if not for her, for me. And I just was kind of sitting there like, yeah, grandma, sure I am. Knowing in my head, like, that's probably not going to happen. So then I was thinking to myself, every Thanksgiving or Christmas or so when I'm around my grandma, she brings it up somehow, some way, whether it's subtle. She doesn't do it aggressively, but something to kind of give me a nudge towards it. And this was the first year where she didn't mention it at all, not even a little bit. And for some odd reason, it was like, it made me feel like, damn.
She's giving up on you.
My grandmother's gave up on me.
Oh, my God.
Like, it reversed on me. And I was like, wait, is she really accepting? Like, my grandson is just, he's lost. He's not going to do it.
Oh, no.
So then I went to my lady, kind of joking at first.
Oh, God.
And I was like,
oh, God.
Because I like to stir up the pot in my relationship. Oh, I don't know why it's the thing I do.
Oh, no.
So I said, hey, I was thinking, what if I really was like, let's just get married for the sake of my grandmother, expecting her to get an attitude.
Okay, now hold on a second. Did you preface this as saying, hey, let's get married because my grandmother wants this? Or did you say, hey, let's have a fake marriage so my grandmother would be happy?
I want to say I went in saying, let's just get it over with so my grandmother will be happy.
Okay, either
not
one.
Not because we love each other, no, not because I want to be with you for the rest of my life, but because grandmama needs this in her heart.
Right, and not because I'm foolish.
Yeah.
That was the joke. Yeah. Like, okay. I expected her to take that as a joke.
Oh, okay. You were poking the bear.
I was.
Mm-hmm. All right, so
purposely.
Let's pause this for 1 second and just go down one of two roads that aren't the truth here, but just hypothetical. If you go to your girlfriend, which is the worst offense? Saying, hey, let's fake a marriage for my grandmother. Or the second turn off here is, hey, let's get married because I know my grandmother would like it. Which is the worst road to go down?
I think the second one's worse.
The second one is worse.
I do.
To be received as the woman, the second one is worse.
Yeah, the only reason why you want to marry me is to, like, appease your grandma. Okay. I think that's worse. You wanting to fake a marriage because you're still staying, like, true to your beliefs that, like, marriage just isn't for you. But it actually is a little sweet that you want to give your grandmother a little something-something and make her think, you know, that you're going to get married. So I wouldn't be as offended. There would still be offense, but I wouldn't be as offended at the first one as I would be the second one.
Which one for you? You are either being proposed the fake marriage for your grandmother or let's just get married because that's what my grandmother would want.
The first one is worse for me because clearly, like, if I've expressed that I want to get married and that's something I want to do in life, and to you it's just a ha-ha la funny joke, that's going to rub me the wrong way.
Okay. So either way, that's not reality.
Right.
Those are just hypothetical.
Right. So she knows my sense of humor. We play with each other like this all the time. So I wasn't expecting her to be mad, but I was expecting her to, like, not engage with me.
Y'all play dangerous games.
Yeah, right. You are. Right.
Listen, man, we make fun of each other all day long. That's what we do. So she says to me, I'd consider it, which kind of threw me a bit. And I was like, wait, what? You being serious? And she was like, yeah. Because for her, like, she's kind of like me with marriage. Like, she'll get married. If I asked her, I don't think she's going to say no. But she's not pressing me either. She doesn't get the big deal of it either. So when she said it, I was like, okay, at first I was joking. But now you're making me think, like, would you really do this? And she was like, I mean, honestly, it would work for my mother, too. Because I know my mother wants to see it as much as your grandmother wants to see it. And she knows her mother wants to see it more than her. And I know my grandmother and my mother want to see it more than me.
God, this is such a good question to ask. 1-855-BIRD-SHOW. Did you get married for everybody in the family except yourself? And how did it turn out? Like, you would have been fine either way, right? But you went ahead and you made that commitment just to appease everybody in the family. How did it work out? 1-855-BIRD-SHOW.
So then we kind of, what started off as a joke got me to really thinking, like, is that something one should or would do? Because for us, I really don't think it's going to make us or break us either way. I mean, a part of me does think she's doing this whole no marriage thing as reverse psychology. I do. A part of me might think she's playing me. And if she is, she's doing a good job at it. But from when we talk about it, it's not going to make us feel any more connected or less connected. It's still going to be what it is for us. But it would probably do wonders for my family and hers. So I'm considering it. Really just getting married so that my grandmother can see it.
Man, that reality, though, man, I don't know. You might say, like, yeah, you know what? I'm not really into it, but we'll do it for our family. Then you get into it, and then you're into a legal, bonded marriage. And at that point, when you have it done, it's too late to hit the panic button at that point.
Are you doing the ceremony, or are you going to make it legally binding?
See, that's the thing. We don't necessarily have to make it legally binding. No one would know. Just have a fake wedding. Fake it all.
So it would be fake. It would legit
be fake.
Okay. Fernando, good morning. You are on the Burt Show.
Good morning, y'all. It's me again. You know, believe it or not, this happened with me and my wife.
Okay.
Right now. We've been friends since high school. Well, technically middle school, but we had our child when we were 19 and 20. My kid's older than our marriage, but it's an Asian family, and they just kept pressing and pressing and pressing, and her grandparents are already old, and I ended up just pushing it and did it. And right now, the marriage is perfectly fine. It's cool. It's actually fun. And we got a free wedding, a free trip to Vietnam, and a bunch of money every Christmas.
The marriage is actually cool. It's pretty fun.
And he did it for the prizes.
And he did a free wedding out of it.
That's why he gave us that PS5 yesterday. It was just one of those wedding gifts, man. Yeah. So it would be a full-on fake wedding.
Yep.
So does that mean you're getting gifts from everybody also? Because everybody else thinks it's free, too.
Yep. The wedding is fake, but the gifts are real.
You're on The Burt Show.
What could possibly happen within your family that was so drastic that you're sincerely considering skipping spending Christmas with your family this year, right? Our producer, Katie, is having thoughts.
It's my age. That's what's changed. So I come from a small family. So with that being said, holidays for us, that's an important time. And on my grandmother's side of the family, I am the only grandchild, the only offspring out of the three kids she had. So it's a close family.
So if somebody's missing, it's very noticeable.
It's extremely noticeable. And for the most part, Thanksgiving, we're like hit or miss with that. We're like, hey, we can get together, we cannot. But Christmas is the definite holiday where every year we spend it together.
Of course, it's the day that Santa was born.
And presents are given out.
Right, you don't miss that one.
Don't miss that one at all. However, this is the first year where I want things to change, and I want to kind of do my own thing, but at the same time, I'm afraid about how my family will receive it. So, for example, because we don't really care too much about Thanksgiving, my initial plan for Thanksgiving was to spend my time with my family and my mom and my aunt and stuff like that. But last minute, 2 days before, I caught an audible and I said, you know what? I'm just going to go spend it with my girlfriend and her daughter. And that's what I did. I spent the holiday, but I knew it was a holiday that they didn't care about.
Okay. It was an alternative holiday. Okay, maybe you can be there. You can't be there. That's an option, but Christmas, not an option.
Yes. And that's where I'm torn because I want to start this new tradition. At the age I'm at, I'm in the phase where I'm going to start creating and building my own family. And with that comes new traditions and new holiday traditions that is going to look different than how I grew up being like the little baby of the family, having to deal with the elders and stuff like that. And so I want to spend Christmas with my girlfriend, and we have our own thing. Like, it's just us as well. Like, her family wouldn't be included as well. But there is my mom and my aunt and my cousins. And so I'm kind of on the fence about how do I want to do this holiday and start this new thing to say, hey, I'm getting older. I'm an adult now. But, I don't want to really hang out with y'all as much anymore.
Yeah, you know who else is getting older?
It is.
Your mom,
yep.
And your aunt, mm-hmm. And your cousins, and all of them. It is I'm just trying to be very sensitive here also. It's just look, you have a certain amount of time for those memories, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the option of not spending it might seem like a good idea now, but in the future, when you're looking back, maybe it wouldn't seem like such a wise decision.
And I get where you're coming from, because now that I am married and I have a child, we have our family unit tradition here for Santa to visit, visit, et cetera. But then we always make a trek back to Kentucky so we can have that moment. why not have your girlfriend and her daughter spend the holidays with your family? Mm-hmm.
That's very feasible.
and you seem enthusiastic about the idea.
That is a possibility.
It's a possibility, but I don't know what it is that right now I'm just really not sold on that.
you know what it is.
So you're saying it's an option, but it's like option Z, not option B.
There's part of me that's like, I want to test what it's like holidays with just her before I bring in the whole family mixture, you know, like this will be the first holiday that we do this type of thing
and
together.
I think we also get stuck on that we have to celebrate on the 25th, and that's just not the case. Like, you can create whatever holiday you want.
Like, but if you've got the whole family there on Christmas, you can't expect everybody to adjust their schedule for the 24th just because you don't want to be there on the 25th.
No, I mean, you can do more than one. Who's to say that you just have to do one? Like, you can not be there on the 25th, but you can be there on the 26th. Or
but
you
isn't
can,
there something, I mean, it's something special about being together with family on Christmas, right?
It is. I mean, I agree with Bert. I do think that when you look at the value of time and where you are in life, you may look back and maybe regret these moments. But at the same time, my middle sister is your exact age. And like 3 years ago, I want to say, she came to us as a family. And she did it. She was like, you know, I think I'm done with the whole all of us get together for Christmas thing. I'm going to start going with my guy. And she's never looked back. She barely made it through Thanksgiving this year, actually. So, I mean, she doesn't regret it at all.
Well, I don't think it's the kind of thing that you have short-term regret on. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Is this that might be a decision that she makes 20 years from now. She'll look back at it and go, dang it, those were three Christmases.
That's true. Yeah. Well, Katie, what you going to do with that?
I don't know. Like, I still am confused and conflicted, and I don't want to have any regrets on either side. So I guess it's like I'm probably just going to have to figure out a way to find a compromise or something.
Because when you look at every family is unique. They're like fingerprints. They're all different. So, I mean, there's some from a dysfunctional standpoint. That's why they don't get together. I mean, there's layers here. I know you and your family have a very solid relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm curious if you've really delved into the why you would prefer to be just you, your girlfriend, and her daughter rather than being with family this year.
I want to feel at peace.
Okay. Well,
okay,
all right. If I'm being honest,
I think at some point in my family, the torch got passed to me to host Christmas, like from my parents. And so the nice thing about that is you could host Christmas and do the morning with just your girlfriend and her kid, and then invite mom and the rest of the family over for Christmas dinner or Christmas lunch. Like, when you host, you control the narrative and the times. Mm. And that's a way you can get a little bit of peace in the morning if you wanted, or they can come over in the morning. Mm-hmm. You know your family the best. But that way, it's under your roof, under your terms, but then everyone is invited and included. And then mom can choose whether mm-hmm. or not she wants to come over.
So this is coming from a guy that looks at that family time with very jealous eyes. When I look at my friends that have that tradition, or when I was with my ex-wife and they have these amazing Christmas traditions together, it just feels like the stakes are too high. Like, if you're going to air, I would air... You don't know what's going to happen with this woman. Mm-hmm. You don't really know. Your mom is going to be there. Your mm-hmm. mom, right? Hopefully next yes. year and the year after and the year after. You don't know that about your girlfriend and her daughter. Are they going to be in your life? So it feels like when you're looking at the two, if I'm going to err, I'm going to err on the sure thing, which is family.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What do you want to say?
I got some.
What do you want to say? I mean, I don't know. I would choose my mom. I would. However... In Katie's defense, if you have one, your mom did say she was moving in with you for a couple of months 3 years ago.
She has had time.
She has had time.
The Bert Show.
Buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Bert Show's entertainment buzz.
A comedian is defending himself after Kendrick Lamar allegedly took some shots at him on his new album. So this has everything to do with comedian Andrew Schultz, where he made some comments on a podcast talking about the black girlfriend effect, which if you missed this on TikTok, it was this really funny trend where white guys specifically were showing what they looked like before they got with their girlfriends that are black and how they look after they got into the relationship. And it was basically this massive glow up. You'd see like the guys before the relationship, they'd be in their cargo shorts and their Birkenstocks. and they have granola crumbs on their t-shirt.
Well, I think Travis Kelce might be the greatest example of this that I've seen, is that when he had a girlfriend, his ex-girlfriend was black, he was dressing one way, and now that he's with Taylor Swift, he looks like a shop teacher.
That's all facts. Yeah, my man lost his fade, his earrings, all that.
Yeah, people have a lot to say about his style. And then so then you would swipe right on the next TikTok photo, and then you would see them, and they're all like dripped out. They got their Nikes on. They're matching set. I mean, they just look so good. So on this podcast, Andrew Schultz kind of made some comments that people found really insensitive.
What is the black girlfriend effect?
This
is
you don't know about
glow up the other culture.
Yeah, so you'll see a guy who's had a black girlfriend, all of a sudden he's got buzz cut, like clean shape up.
They shave their hair because they start losing it. Because they're so stressed being around this black girl complaining about that's why they got to shave their hair.
Nah, bro. White guys with black girlfriends, they
grow a beard because there's more cushion when they get slapped out of them.
So the one thing that I really like Andrew Schultz, I'll be honest with you, because he's one of the comedians that doesn't care about being politically correct. And for whatever reason, maybe you can explain, you know who he is, right? Mm-hmm. For whatever reason, he has been embraced by the black community and all communities, even if he insults them. And I don't know how he gets away with it.
I think one of the reasons is because of who he hangs out with. He was always tied to Charlamagne, and he hangs out with a lot of black people. Lil Duval, he does podcasts with the black men that were on that clip with him laughing. So I think because he's always been somewhat tied to the black community, some black people let him get away with it.
I was going to say, is he getting away with this or no? Because it seems like he just plays into the angry black woman trope.
Yeah, so basically where this controversy is coming from is allegedly Kendrick Lamar has a verse on his new album where he's seemingly calling him out for saying that. So the verse says, don't let no white comedian talk about no black woman, that's law. So then on another show, he and a bunch of other comedians were talking about how they felt like this was really hypocritical because Kendrick has collabed with men who have not had reputations for treating women well, like Chris Brown and R. Kelly.
Let's see the exact line, okay? Don't let no white on wax that he is protecting black women from white comedians' jokes, but not the kidnapping, molestation, and rape.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Of R. Kelly. And actually, in reality, he would take his own music off Spotify to protect R. Kelly.
Yeah.
Someone who's kidnapped,
a sexual predator, yeah.
And black women?
Oof, children.
Are you saying that he's done songs with other men who have potentially put hands on black
Not
women?
Not potentially, confirmed.
Wait a minute, convicted?
Yeah, I don't know what you call Chris Brown, but yeah, whatever that is.
Not breezy. Not breezy.
So obviously he's being satirical when he's saying what he's saying that, you know, blah, blah, blah. So there's a rumor going around that Kendrick is the reason that R. Kelly's music is still on Spotify, which is why R. Kelly was brought up. And then he was featured on a Chris Brown track. And obviously there was controversy surrounding Chris Brown hitting Rihanna. So, it's causing a lot of discussion as to whether or not, you know, he should have called him out in that song.
Do you agree that he's not keeping the same energy?
To a certain extent, I don't think it's the same thing.
Yeah.
I do think that you can have a point towards Kendrick for not standing up for certain artists, but Kendrick has called out other artists for similar things. So he does keep his peers accountable. But my issue with Andrew Schultz is I feel like he was clout chasing in this response because mm-hmm. Kendrick never mentioned his name. So we really don't know, one, who Kendrick was speaking to. It could have been Gary Owen, could have been Bill Burr, mm-hmm. could have been Andrew Schultz, could have been a few different people. He jumped out to say it was him when he was never mentioned. And I also believe that what Kendrick was actually saying, this is just my personal opinion, I don't think he was telling Andrew Schultz not to talk about black women. I think he was telling black men to stop letting comedians like Andrew Schultz talk about black women. That's how I received it. And if you looked at the comments, I think most people felt the same way because of the black men that were in the room allowing Andrew Schultz to get mm-hmm. this off and then giggling with him like it's all good when you are the guy who's supposed to step up and say something when a white comedian tries that.
But you did just say that he's accepted in the community because he does have a community of friends that are black.
Well, it's the same thing with Gary Owen, right? Like Gary Owen is accepted, quote unquote, in the community because he had a black wife at one point. That's not a black thing. That's just some people in the black community thing. Some black people stand on, you don't get accepted in a community for being white and talking down about black people regardless. Others give a pass. That's more of a personal thing than a culture thing. For me, I think comedians should be able to talk about anyone as long as it's done in a way that, to me, moves the culture forward. But I think you should also be prepared for the backlash that comes with it if you attempt to do it.
100%. All right, for more stories, head to the Burt Show podcast on your favorite listening platform.
The Burt Show.
It is a sad day when you realize that some of your family doesn't really dig you anymore. Hey, Amber?
Yeah, a little bit, a little bit. The thing about Christmas and the holidays for me and my family is that Christmas especially was huge for my mom. I mean, she made me wake up and decorate the house and all that stuff, climb on the roof, do what I had to do. I hated it. I used a lot of duct tape, strangely enough, when I was in high school. But after she passed, I realized that a lot of our family members really loved her, maybe tolerated us because, you know, it was kind of like a group deal, you know what I mean? And so when she passed, I noticed the last couple of Christmases, this will be our second one without her, we're not getting as many phone calls, nobody stops by anymore. Our house was the house
to
go
to.
Yeah, that was the go-to house.
Isn't it possible that, let me make a general statement, that in most homes, it's the mom that keeps it together and connects the other family members and stuff like that?
You're right, because after she passed, I realized, I remember looking back and I remember her being on the phone with everybody, having conversations. Oh, I was just talking to your cousin so-and-so and your aunt, la-la-la. And I'm like, who are these people?
you don't even know.
Yeah, you know. And she was definitely the wind beneath all of our wings. So when Katie was talking about wanting to do her own traditions, I'm thinking to myself, woman, you only got, 20 holidays?
Yeah, give her the guilt trip. Give Katie the guilt trip.
No, it's so crazy you're talking about this because I literally just saw a video yesterday or the day before on social media talking about kin keepers. Mm-hmm. And this woman was saying a kin keeper is someone who maintains and strengthens family ties. This involves emotional labor. It's often done out of a sense of obligation or emotional attachment. So they're the ones who are making all the plans, who are buying the gifts, who are organizing the dinners, who are cooking the dinners, et cetera. And a study out of Nebraska actually found that 91% of people chosen to identify with the role of kinskeeper, women.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense now that you said, I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah,
but yeah,
I didn't either until like the other day, but she was your kinskeeper.
Yeah, and she was the one, she was like the supervisor of the family. She knew what we needed to do. She doled out the chores, you know, put me on the roof, put up those lights. Mm-hmm. Dad, keep the kitchen clean, put the toilet seat down. It's just so much has changed for the holidays in the Jones household. So now we're kind of trying to do what Katie's trying to do too, trying to figure out the new tradition for us now. We used to go every Halloween, every Thanksgiving, we would go to this soul food place that I love in Forest Park called John's Fine Food. Oh, so good. And every year, Christmas and Thanksgiving, we get our food catered there. This Thanksgiving, we didn't do it. And I was like, so what, we're not having Thanksgiving? I didn't even think, oh, cook. Like, it didn't even occur to me. And so now for Christmas, I'm like, no, we got to go to John's because Thanksgiving food was too hard. I'm not doing that. And I didn't even do anything. I just drank. But it was really difficult.
Yeah. You didn't want to try to fill your mom's shoes?
And no, I couldn't. Even if I tried, even if I want, I couldn't.
Well, you don't have to. Don't look at it as filling your mom's shoes because obviously she did something and had something so special. But just, you know, starting to create your own traditions. Mm-hmm. And maybe some nods to what she did and to become your own type of kinkeeper. Not exactly everything she did, but, you know, things that are feasible for you and your dad.
Do you have any of that in you whatsoever? Or did your mom take so much, for lack of a better word, control of that situation that it was never really passed down to you? Because that was kind of like just what mom loved to do.
It was until I moved to L.A. and L.A. beat that out of me. So I went to L.A. a sweet Southern girl, came back a complete B. So,
LA will do that too.
Yeah.
No, I understand. I totally understand.
Well, I mean, I think if you're looking at the situation and you see, and I can see how it'll make you feel some sort of way. Mm-hmm. If like just because mom's not here anymore, you guys can't call or come by, or if anything, you would think that you would, you know, step up your visiting game and your calling game to, like, you know, check in or whatnot. So I think you're at a crossroads. You have a decision to make. It's not that you're going to call this family out. Either you can be the one to reach out and want to, like, maintain those ties or rebuild those connections, or you can go down another path and be like, screw you. If you don't want to be a part of our life, you're missing out.
Right. That is the best part about being an adult, that you can build your own family. Mm-hmm. So that's true.
Now, I feel like we have a really good picture of how everybody celebrates Christmas except you.
Me?
Yeah, yeah. What do you and your family do, Abby?
It's funny because I don't really feel like Christmas is our big holiday. For my mom's side of the family, Thanksgiving is the really big holiday. And so that's when we get the big house in the mountains. And it's like literally everybody from her side of the family. It's like 30 people. But for this holiday, for Christmas, it's actually weird. This is going to be the first time we don't celebrate with the whole family. Because my brother's going down to Vero to celebrate with his girlfriend. So but that's because Christmas is a big deal for us. We just usually we go get dinner somewhere and then we just open presents and that's really it.
And I'll be out of the country again. That's my new tradition.
Getting out of town.
I'm chasing saying all around the world. It's a Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
I'm in a bit of a conundrum and I can't wait any longer. I was going to wait to talk about this on the show tomorrow, but the person that I most need to be consulted is off tomorrow, and that is Kristen.
Yeah, tomorrow's my Friday off. Yeah. Ooh, suckers. Everybody gets one, but that's okay.
Yeah, we have this rotating 4-day work week, and it's Kristen's tomorrow. Okay, Kristen, so I have a question for you. The backstory here is that for the very first time of The Burt Show, I am going to be the one hosting the holiday party.
You are. Yes. You're hosting The Burt Show Christmas party this year.
My girlfriend is actually, and I've been invited as well.
That's mighty nice of her considering it is your home.
That's no lie right there. I got the email the same time everybody else did. The backstory is we talked about it on vacation. She was kind of pushing it. She loves hosting parties.
She does.
Weirdo. Loves having strangers in the house. Loves hosting parties. So...
They're not strangers. You said loves having strangers in the home. None of us are going to be strangers to you. You do realize this, right? You know that every single one of us personally.
Right. Well, a stranger would have told me I have toothpaste on my shirt earlier. Where you guys did, and so I'm not sure who the friend is. Anyway, so she loves doing this kind of thing. She's like, I got this great idea. Everybody at the house. And I'm like, oh, let's just put this off and we'll talk about it later. And later to her was the indication that she should just send the invitation out to everybody. And it was on whatever it is. December. Is it December 15th? Something like that?
Not this weekend, but next weekend. Yeah.
So 13th.
Friday the 13th.
Okay, mm-hmm. It's coming up. So the thing that you need to know about Amanda is she and I are very, very similar in our procrastination and our flakiness. We're big on ideas. I'm just not exactly sure because we don't have time enough together yet for me to know if she is a solid logistical person. But my prediction is no. Okay.
Well, no, I disagree because we, through myself and Cassie, threw a baby shower for a friend, and Amanda was also another one of the hosts. She is most definitely a procrastinator. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt about that. But she comes in at the 11th hour and she gets it done.
Oh, her attention to detail and the touches she put. I have never seen anyone go through a party like Kristen and Amanda and just tweak things and make it like in ways I'm like, huh. I literally never would have thought of that unless a Pinterest post slapped me in the face.
Okay, so Kristen, you brought up the very thing that is causing me stress, is that Amanda has told me, don't be stressed about anything, man. I kind of put this holiday party on you. I know that you kind of get sketched out by having people in the house. You've never thrown a holiday party before.
You haven't in all the years I've been here.
I never have, right? We had that one cluster F 1 year. You remember that? The big old party we had, the drunk fest. But it wasn't like a holiday party.
Yeah, that was you merged multiple group friends together. And let's just say that pot didn't mix.
No, not at all.
Right?
A lot of stories,
you
man.
You did have a holiday party, that is true, but it was not a designated Burt Show holiday party.
Right.
We also got invited, and that was interesting.
There wasn't a lot of decorations and this and that. There was just a lot of alcohol and food and good music, and that's how I would plan a party.
Abby,
that's it.
He got so drunk, he went upstairs and took a nap.
That is a lie. That is a lie. I went downstairs into the basement.
Your basement's unfinished.
It was unfinished. That's how much I needed to be away from people.
He wanted to get away, boy.
People were looking for me. It was like a search party.
That basement was unfinished.
It was just too much noise and too many people, and I was so nervous. So anyway, the procrastination part is what I want to address with you.
Okay.
So because I haven't planned a party, and it is going to be in my house, so I am taking some ownership of it, even though Amanda has assured me she's taking care of everything, I kind of feel like we should start either not necessarily decorating, but making the space now.
No, you don't need to make the space now. She already told me you're trying to move couches already.
Yeah.
You don't need to be doing all that yet.
Okay.
That's a day of thing.
Really?
Yes.
You're going to wait till the very last day to move all of your furniture? Who knows what's underneath there?
Then you take a vacuum and you vacuum them up real quick.
What could possibly be under that that you couldn't clean up within 20 minutes?
I don't want to get into that. Okay, so it is very common. So when does the process of bringing everything into the house, like we're going to have a bartender there.
Day of.
Do you
want the bartender to come 3 days early?
I thought there should be a setup a couple of days in advance.
No, honey, no.
They
are. I'm
ordering heat lamps. Are they supposed to be there a couple of days in advance?
Make sure the heat lamps. There's certain things you don't have to worry about. So, yeah, if you're going to have heat lamps, maybe have them delivered the day before to make sure there's no hiccups.
Okay, so she is accurate when she says, okay, we can put this off for a couple of days, a day or two before the party. That's when we really start putting the foot on the accelerator.
God bless your little heart. All right, so. So you want to have the stuff booked. You want to have the stuff paid for. You don't want to like book the heat lamps the day of or the day. You don't want to book the bartender. But if you have procured and you are like bartender is done, like that is check. They will come. They will get there like maybe an hour before the party and set everything up and be absolutely fine.
Like you want to have picked out the spot where you're going to have the bartender and make sure you in your head, you're like, cool, we're going to use this table or this bar and they're going to be here. But yeah, you don't need to move anything in place. You need to have the plans formulated in your head and then you execute them once.
She has that down already because last night when she saw that I was starting to get a little bit more nervous about it, she's like, okay, let me show you in your head exactly what is going to happen here. Showed me where the bartender was going to be, showed me how the couches were going to be moved, but I thought, let's do this now so we're not panicking on the last
one. Wait. The party is just December 13th. You wanted to move your couches last night?
Yeah,
about a week, bro.
Give yourself the weekend at least.
You're going to be so stressed out, like the day of the party to move all that stuff. Okay, all right, so she's right. And she's got it handled.
You are so pretty.
Okay. Never done one of these before,
I can tell.
All right, Jackson, where are we going with this? Because this is our intern Demise last day.
Yeah, it's a sad time around here.
Single tear.
It's the end of an era for these interns, this current class of interns. And we started a bit of a new tradition lately where I've prepared a commencement and award speech for each and every intern as they part ways from these beautiful studio doors. And up first is our very own intern, Demaya. Ladies, gentlemen, proud parents, grandparents, siblings, and friends of our esteemed grads.
Not fish, though.
Who are certainly not listening right now. Today we are celebrating our very own intern, Demaya. My first impression of Demaya was that she's a quiet one. So soft-spoken, in fact, that Helen Keller would give her a run for her money in a sing-off.
Wow. Oh.
Another Helen Keller show.
At least he is admitting to her existence.
No, that's only because she doesn't exist.
It's not like she's going to hear this and file a complaint.
Oh, my God.
Anyways, but as we know, it's the quiet ones who are the ones you have to look out for the most. If one of these interns was to be a villain, it's not Ethan, who sounds like Darth Vader. It's actually Sneaky Demaya here. Recently, Demaya came on air talking about the absolute meltdown she had at the salon when something went wrong with her hair. And now I have come to learn that you do not mess with a black woman's hair.
Oh,
but if you could have seen the look of absolute fiery rage that was in her eyes behind an otherwise incredibly stoic and calm exterior when she told us this story, it would send chills and shudders down even Freddy Krueger's spine. In all seriousness, it has been all love, and I have nothing but positives to say about Demaya. I personally think she balances this intern class perfectly. She's quiet but cunning, quick but thorough, and easygoing but hardworking. So today, Demaya, I am presenting you with the Silent Killer Award.
Thank you for spending time with us. Thanks for working with us. I always ask the interns this also. Are you more likely to get into the industry or less likely after working on this morning show?
No, I hate it. No, I'm just kidding.
Silent killer!
No, I would like to get into the industry. I love you guys.
Okay. Aww.
Inspirational.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks for being in here.
Thanks for
appreciate
having
it.
Me.
Okay. Silent killer.
That's all
she's up here like...
The Burt Show.